be the truth tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Our God reigns. I'm glad to be serving a God like that, aren't you? And I'm glad that we've got a God that's got skin on him. I'm glad he's real tonight. I'm glad our God is real. Somebody say our God is real. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Well, our God reigns. Sing it now. Yes, our God reigns.
Oh, Jesus reigns.
Oh, our God reigns.
He reigns.
Yes, our God reigns. One more time with all your heart. Yes, our God reigns.
Jesus reigns.
Oh, our God reigns.
Yes, He reigns.
You can be seated just for a little bit while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Brother Buzz and Sister Joy Livingston. Sister Joy sent this card to the church, and we'll see that Brother Burt gets it. He can put it on the screen out in the lobby for you. But says, we just want to say thank you for your many prayers during Buzz's recent hospital stay. I don't know what we'd have done without your prayers, God, and God's healing touch. Thank the church for the wonderful basket and the many calls and texts. Please continue to remember Buzz when you pray. Love to all, Joy and Buzz Livingston. Well, we appreciate those folks too, don't we? Amen. So let's remember those people tonight as we pray. Pray for Brother Jason Roncalli. He's homesick with flu-like symptoms. Also for guidance in some major decisions that you're going to be having to make. So let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Linda Maxwell says to please pray for my sister Marilyn Buchanan. She has skin issues that are very bad, so we will remember that need tonight. The family, the Cobb family, this is Brother Aaron's family. They have requested no more visitors at this time. Brother Aaron just needs a lot of rest, so let's honor that. And just one thing you can do is continue to pray for him. Pray for the family. So let's remember Brother Aaron in prayer tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Frank Williams' brother, Jimmy, who is in the hospital in serious condition, brought on by many years of heavy drinking and smoking. Pray that God would touch his body also. Pray for salvation for his soul. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Marty and Sister Beverly Bryant from South Carolina. Remember them in prayer. Have an unspoken prayer request on their heart. Let's remember them tonight. I want to pray for Brother Floyd Parrish's grandson, who is in Vanderbilt Hospital with a ruptured appendix. So let's remember that need tonight. I want to remember Brother John Roberts, who has congestion and a cold. So let's pray for that need tonight. Please pray for Brother, this is a request sent to the, I guess Brother, Sister Sherry sent this in, to please remember Brother Buzz after his return from the hospital. He's developed pneumonia again, so they're asking that we would remember him as we pray. Let's just commit that to the Lord. And Heather Potter wants to offer this testimony tonight. I fought coming back to church for a long time. Then one day it just happened. I was living in the world, not doing right. But when you're meant to be somewhere, the Lord will see that you get there. I was doing some very bad things. In a month and a half, I have been delivered from drugs, nicotine, profanity, and the world. Through the love and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I came out of the world. And I thank God for his mercy and grace. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Matthew Caraway's uncle, Roger Miller. He's in the hospital in critical condition. There's not much more that the doctors can do, so let's remember that need tonight. Please remember Brother Bert and Sister Barbara Gravely in prayer. They really need a touch from the Lord, so we want to remember those needs tonight as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks, just a precious couple. And, well, we miss them when they're not here, so let's remember them as we pray tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs, I know there's many needs in this room tonight. We know that. Brother West, would you come tonight as we stand? Come and let's just take these needs to the Lord. A lot of requests tonight. Brother Tim Pruitt's here. He's ready to bring us the word of the Lord, and we're just looking forward to what God has for us tonight. For the West, God bless you, baby. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, the most important thing all day today has been to get here tonight to worship you, to show our love to you, Father, to just bow at your feet and to hear your words to us. Lord, that's what this whole day has been about. It's from the time we got up, Satan's come against us in every way imaginable to try to stop us, Lord, from coming here and doing what we as by nature do as your children, Father. Lord, I ask that you just put us under the blood, that you help us, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, our iniquities, Lord, that you bring us before you pure, Lord, so that we can receive of your word, that we can receive revelation, so that we can partake in what it is that you have planned for us tonight, Lord. And Lord, for these needs that have been placed here at your altar tonight, Lord, we know that they're already done. Brother Louis said he wants a God with skin on it. I agree. I walked in through the parking lot. I saw my brothers and sisters gathering here together around your word and to worship you. See Brother Eugene out there, Lord, fighting his way through sickness with faith, believing in you, coming here to worship you, making a sacrifice to be here. I see these saints, Lord, putting their petitions up here, Father, and I know that to you these are nothing. Lord, the brother that's laying there, Lord, that needs salvation. Lord, you fought your way through hell to get me. You fought your way through hell to get every one of us. Lord Jesus, we are believing for that. Lord, we don't look down on a person that's caught up in sin and caught up in the ways of the world. Lord, we look at them with pity and sorrow and look at them with compassion, Father. And we know that that's how you look at them too. We know that you're just waiting to save somebody's soul. And we're going to put our faith together and believe that that's possible tonight. Satan can't bury somebody so deep that you can't reach down and pull them out of any dark pit they might be in, Lord. And we just thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for the healing that's going to come forth from these, Lord. I thank you for the testimonies that came forward too, Lord, and we're just so fortunate to be here tonight, Lord, and gather around your word. Thank you, and I ask you to just bless the service, and Lord, most of all, I ask that we be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wes. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that will be streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. That sounds like home to me. I like the sounds of home, don't you? As you get older, home's just got a special meaning to you. It really does. It's just got a special meaning to you. So we just want to sing that song tonight. That sounds like home to me. Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree of life is blooming there forever, and a crown of life is waiting there for me. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears, fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story,
oh, yes,
as we sing of his grace and glory.
On where the saints of God will be, that sounds like home.
Say there's mansions there inside the city, a crystal river flowing by the tree of life.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, no pain, no disappointments. got a special for us tonight. We'll sing a little bit of this, then he'll sing, and then we'll go right on into the service. It's a tremendous privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Are you glad to be here? I'd rather be here than anywhere, wouldn't you? Praise the Lord. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. He's awesome. My God is awesome.
He can.
Yes, He's awesome. Oh, He's awesome. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome.
He can move the mountains.
Glory.
Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain.
Oh, my God is awesome.
He is awesome.
Sing it to Him if you believe it.
I know You're awesome, Lord. He is awesome.
You can be seated tonight. Give Brother Harry a hand as he sings for you tonight.
Well, I had a new song I was going to try, but to be honest, I didn't get home in time from work to work it out a little better. So Brother Michael had asked me to sing this old one.
If He knows when a robin falls from his nest, and He grieves when He sees it die, if He kisses the rose with the morning, I wonder how much more does He love you and I. And if He cares for the lily in an open field and caresses each petal, acknowledges the tree when the winds make it near, how much more does He love me and you? How much more than a phrase eagle's nest that never soars, yet he soars on the wing. If he can speak a simple word and calm an angry wind, peace be still can calm a rolling sea. Then he can speak, peace be still to the storms within. That's how much he really loves me. He can speak, peace be still to every storm within. That's how much my God really loves me.
Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Are you even happier to be the house of the Lord? Praise the Lord. We're blessed to be able to be gathered together tonight. Amen. We're going to ask Brother Tim if he'll just come and give to us what the Lord's placed on his heart for us. We're under anticipation tonight to see what if we'll be fried or if we'll fly or if we'll, you know, just whatever the Lord's got on his heart is what we want, don't we? Amen. God bless you. So happy to see each one of you. Let's sing together, Harry, the song we're singing this weekend. We need you, Lord, right now. Amen. I'm sure that every one of us coming to church tonight that we have needs, desires, requests, and whether they're large or whether they're small, whether to other people's needs it might be considered insignificant. But remember, your need, your request, your desire is important to the Lord. So let's just sing together and open our hearts. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We lift our hands, bow our knees, and worship, yes, Lord. We do, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord. Amen. Right now, once again. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now. Everybody now, let's sing it. What we're going to do, lift our hands and bow our knees to worship your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Once again, oh. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Father. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, it is my privilege and honor. to be able to introduce to you tonight one of my dearest, closest, and most special friends. I call him my little buddy simply for the reason that he's shorter than me. It has nothing to do with him, the caliber of man that he is or the caliber of preaching that he has, but just that he's shorter than me. So love Brother Tim. So appreciate our friendship and our fellowship through the years. And he's going to be up Brother Ron Spencer this weekend. So I found out he was flying through under the radar. So Brother Ron told me about it. So I asked him if he'd just please stop by and be with us. And he agreed tonight. We're so happy to have you.
Praise the Lord for friends. Amen. Amen. Thankful for each one of you here tonight. Good to be in the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. To be here where He is, will gather with His people. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment as we go to the Lord. And maybe you've got something special on your heart tonight. You would just like to Him to come by your way and stop by your pew and give you a little touch from Him. You could say, I'm needy, Lord. I want You to come by my way. Father, as we bow before Your throne of grace, we thank You, Lord, for grace, amazing grace. We thank You for the privilege of serving You, Lord, of being Your children, being washed by the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, oh God, we love You tonight. We want to express our love to You and just tell You how wonderful that You are to us. And Lord, that we can do nothing without You. Lord, if You come by tonight, then our whole service will be different and we'll be charged in Your presence. If we can find the anointing of the Spirit and flow in that, Lord, and step into it, then, oh God, as You take control and You'll discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, You'll minister to the soul. And I pray, God, that You'll minister to every need that is here tonight. And bring healing to the sick, Lord. Bring deliverance to those that are in need deliverance. Maybe some would not even know what their need is, and maybe not even cognizant enough to understand. But Lord, may it be, oh God, tonight, that this is a night of deliverance for Your children. That You'll meet their needs, Lord. You'll speak to their hearts in a real and loving way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. So good to be here. So be good to gather together with you once more. Have this privilege of serving the Lord together. Yeah, you might as well. I usually preach with my coat on, but maybe this is a night I'll need it off. Amen. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. I appreciate Brother Donnie and Sister Carol and their friendship through the years, and what a blessing they've been to us. And I met him back in, I'm pretty sure it was about 1987, where we all met together and fellowship for our first time. And there we became fast friends. And that friendship has lasted through all these years and through our ups and downs, our ins and outs that we all go through in life. Man, our friendship has remained constant, and I want to say I appreciate Brother Donnie and his family and the church here. Amen. God bless each one of you. Amen. Been staying at, had some real nice times, a couple of nights staying over at Brother Dan Dyer's and fellowshipping with them. And so, you know, just good times as we pass through life's journey. Amen. We're going to spend eternity one day with each one of you. And I will have a time, maybe we can sit down 1,000 years and just talk it all over. Amen. But you know, it's Wednesday night. And you know, I have a reputation to keep. Hallelujah. I can tell some of you don't know what that meant. Amen. But we'll try to be as to get in a hurry tonight, and you know, let you out in a decent time. And but let's just let the Lord speak. Amen. If He doesn't come by, it's all in vain anyway. Without Him, we're nothing. Amen. We're going to look at Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll read from the first verse tonight. And I'm going to read down through about verse 7. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side and of the bowl, and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. God bless you. You can have your seats. Tonight I'm going to speak to you for a little while upon untapped resources. As we look into this scripture, and you know, there's a great parallel that is between the natural seed, the nation of Israel, and the royal seed, which is the bride of Christ. And what God has done for the natural seed of Abraham and reestablishing them in their land, He's also doing the same for the royal seed of Abraham. And neither can be blessed outside of their land. They all must go to their promised land. In Zechariah's day, the Jews had returned back to their homeland. They were ready for the headstone to come. And they, to do this, there was a visitation of an angel who said that though there are mountains that are in the way, and there are impossibilities that lay before you, that but these mountains would be removed. And it wouldn't be removed by man's power or man's might. But he said it would be by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that the headstone would be brought back by a message shouting, grace, grace. Amen. Not just a little grace, but grace upon grace. Favor upon favor. I want to tell you tonight, you're a people that are highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Where there is not just grace, but abundant grace that has been poured out upon this generation. It would also be said in Zechariah 13 and 1, it said, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. You see, a fountain open, not that there that they would find a cistern and there would be some old water there, you know, that was contaminated, had bugs in it, but a fountain. And a fountain indicates an unlimited supply. And let me tell you, the people of the book has returned to the land of the book. Israel, after 2,000 years, is now a nation, and they're celebrating, just celebrated 70 years, a man's lifetime of being a nation. That a child that would have been born back the day that they were declared a nation would now be 70 years old, having lived a lifetime. And at the time of her struggle to become a nation, it was remarkable in that time, in the very struggle, the news comes that, you know, there was a certain little Arab boy that was there that threw a rock out down into a little hole in the ground and heard it tinkle down there as it broke apart some vessels that was down there. Going down to look, he found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And these Dead Sea Scrolls they found that were found established the Jews as the people of the book. You see, there were debates as to whether the Jews had ever lived there. Many believed it to be just a fictional account, even though they had no proof. But when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, it gave proof that they indeed were the people of the book. And that the ones that had dwelled there many, many thousands of years before, now they were returning to their land as was promised by the book. Remember, they are typing us. Because what they are doing in the natural, there is a people who is the spiritual seed of Abraham. Amen. That light for the first time has shone back on the Word of God as the seals were broken and brought back out into light again. So that it could prove to us that those who receive this are the people of the book. Hallelujah. They are the inheritors of the promise. Amen. I'm talking to a people today. Amen. Who are the people of the book. The Bible would prophesy and give many prophecies about them returning to their land. It would be said in Ezekiel 28:25, thus saith the Lord God, when I have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they were established, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein. And shall build houses and plant vineyards. And yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. What wonderful promises have been given. Remember, don't take these just as a natural people. Remember, God promised to establish you right back in the promised land of this Bible. Amen. Ezekiel 36:24. This is a scripture that ought to be real to us. For I will take you from among the heathen. I will gather you out of all the countries and will bring you to your own land. And then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit. Not a new desire, amen, not a new thinking, but I'll put my spirit in you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. Amen. A people who have been promised that new birth. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And ye shall be my people. And I will be your God. I say, blessed is the man whose God is the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the people who God will say, that's my people. That's my church. That's my elect. That's my bride. Hallelujah. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Ezekiel 37 would tell it, and we won't read all of that, but it speaks of the dry bones. But in verse 11, he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we're cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves. And I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and have brought you out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you. And ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. And ye shall know that I'm the Lord that have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
bring you out. Some of you were in a Baptist tomb. Some of you was in a Methodist tomb. Some of you was in a Catholic tomb. Wherever you were there dead in sins and trespasses. But God sent a message. Hallelujah. To awaken you, to bring you back in. To establish you back in your homeland. He would continue this saying in verse 21. And shall say to them, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen. And whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side. And will bring them to their own land. And I will make of them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be the king to them all. And they shall no more be two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols. Nor with their detestable things. Nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them so that they shall be my people. And I will be their God. Hallelujah. He would say it again in the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of the land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Oh, what wonderful words of life. They shall never, no more be pulled out of their land. Hallelujah. There is a word of God that has established Israel into their homeland. And there is a word of God that has established you into your homeland. The word of God. 2,000 years ago, the Romans, they had decided this land is our land. They wanted the Holy Land. And because of their desire and the resistance of the Jews, then they sought a solution. And that solution was to disperse the Jews from their land of promise. And they would take them and break up families, break up the whole nation, and send them to all different parts of the kingdoms of Rome. And disperse them from their land. It would be then as the empire would break down to the Romans, then Islam wanted the Holy Land. And then the Arabs have resisted now for years and years and years, for millenniums, the return of the Jews to their promised land. Even Britain wanted the Holy Land as part of their imperial kingdom, to be part of the British Empire. And they also did everything within their power to keep the Jews from returning there. There would be Egypt and Syria and Iraq and Jordan that were all ready to swoop up the land as soon as the British would leave. But prophecy was against them all. Hallelujah. The odds were in the Jews' favor because God was on their side. Though a host of hell was against them. What shall I fear? You will hide me in your pavilion and in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. But God promised a restoration. He said the tree that had been eaten down would be restored. Brother Branham would take that same scripture that applied to the Jews and apply it to the spiritual Israel. Amen. With a message to us saying, I will restore, saith the Lord. And I don't care how hopeless it looks today, God is still in the business of restoration. He will restore a bride back to her original position. During two millenniums of exile, 2,000 years of exile, the Jews have prayed and long for return to Zion, to the land of Israel, where they would reestablish an independent Jewish state as a solution to this central problem of the Jews. The phenomena of that wandering Jew with no real roots anywhere in the world. Hitler had a final solution of the systematic annihilation of 6 million Jews during World War II. And it underlined then the need for there to be a Jewish homeland. The Jews were people that nobody wanted. They had different customs. They didn't fit in. They were strangers in the land. They never really truly had a belonging wherever they were. They dress funny. They look funny. They talk funny. Amen. They didn't fit in. But after the war, there were still thousands of refugees that had been uprooted, that had to be resettled, and America didn't want them. They said, we got enough Jews. Britain didn't want them. And they didn't want them in the Holy Land either. Amen. Europe didn't want them. And the only hope was a country of their own. Their only hope was a place where they would be safe, where they would their laws would be respected, where their God would be worshipped. Amen. It was certainly true, and it is in this age, continues even now, Zechariah 12:3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. And all that burden themselves with it will be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. You see, the Jews began to return back to their ancient homeland. And yet, there were the British turning them away. You can remember the Exodus ship filled with poor little refugees from the war. People that had been let out of the concentration camps and gathered there and trying to get back to their homeland. And they heartlessly turned them away. Allowing many to perish and die and struggle upon struggle. But they were going back even though all nations was against it. Even America at that time was against it. All the world was against them going back to their homeland. All of hell was against that truth of God's word. Amen. But God said, I will restore. And God's word was going to prevail over the opinion of the world. Over the desires of kings. Over the mandates of nations. Brother Branham would talk about them and recognizing your day in this message. He'd say, like Israel, back in her promised land, she don't know how she got back there. She was just automatically put back there. Why? National force put her in her place. Now I'm going to say something. National force put Israel in her homeland. National force will put the church in the World Council of Churches. But the power of God will put people in the bride. I'm telling you, you are here tonight, not by man's might, not by man's power, but it was by God's Spirit that He has placed you in the land. The world forces this way, the world forces that way, but God forces upward. I'm so glad tonight there's a great power, an invisible force that is forcing me ever onward, always forward, always upward. The Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, my Word is love, spirit, and life, will put the bride in her place. She'll recognize her position in the Word. Then she's in Christ. We'll put her in her place. No national force will do it. Amen. You said, Brother Tim, we're waiting on the World Council of Churches to get the power. No national force will do it. The power of God is putting the people in the bride. And it's forcing her upward. It's forcing her out of the world and into Christ. Back into their homeland. But the national force did drive Israel to the homeland. National forces of the world, Council of Churches, will drive every organization into it. But the power of God will raise the bride into glory. Out of it. Oh, people, recognize your day. Amen. I want you to know this is not an accidental gathering. You have been gathered, handpicked, hand selected, sought out, brought here by God to this day, to this hour, to this land. You were opposed. There were onslaughts against you. The enemy came in every way, but to hear. And if you're like me, I ain't gonna leave. I have a ride back to my homeland. This bride also, she didn't fit among the nations. She wasn't wanted among the Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholics. Amen. They don't want these odd-looking holiness people in their church. Amen. Women who look decent and holy wouldn't fit in a church, a prostitute church. Amen. You know, they didn't want someone, you know, who believed in predestination. Oh, no, we can't have that. You can't believe. So a people, can you imagine, who can't believe that eating an apple was the original sin. Can you believe that there's such a people on the earth? That they refuse to believe in the myth of a talking snake that deceived Eve. A people that reject a Trinity that's not even in the Bible. A people that are a one God, tongue talking, Bible believing people that don't fit in their church. Or in their high society. Amen. You know, and so we, a bunch of misfits, have returned to the land of the Bible. I don't know about you, but I found exactly where I belong. Now the Jews have determined there will never be another Holocaust. We must at all costs have a place where the Jews can assemble and worship and believe their God. They are determined there will never be another Holocaust. Never again. Never again, they say, that will they ever sit passively and be told to wear a gold star. As a stigma of a hated people, a despised people. Never again will they be under the curfews in a ghetto with so much fear so great that many of them actually starved to death in the prisons of their own home. Never again will they be passive, will they passively allow themselves to be loaded onto trains without resistance and taken to a death camp. Every boy and girl and man and woman must fight. They must resist being taken there again. Whatever the cost. Amen. Whatever the cost. Never to go back into another concentration. Never again to be taken out of their land again. Never, never, never. And I'm just going to say, and we must never allow the bride to be taken back to some denominational rule, to listening to some headquarters mandating what we do, who won't even take and shove a tape down our throats saying, you must do what we say. You must sit down and do what we say. I'll tell you, we have been through that. There's been enough of our brothers and sisters died out in concentration camp, and we will never go back again. Yeah. return to the land of the Bible. We will preach what the Word says preach. We will believe every word. In this land, the Word will be preached and the Word will be lived. Kind of like 911. You think about those airlines where we're always taught to be passive. For years and years it had worked. Just give the hijackers what they want. You know, it may be inconvenient, but that's the way to save lives, you know. You know, there'd be less loss of life. We'll just take them to, you know, somewhere, take them to Cuba or here or there. Or just do whatever they say and then they'll get what they want and let the people go. But 911 changed that. A few terrorists armed with only utility knives took over planes with 300 plus people. Sat back passively without resisting and let them fly those planes into the World Trade Center. Into the Twin Towers, killing them all. Making human bombs out of them all. But no more. That'll never happen again in America. Amen. It'll never happen. It'll never happen again that men and women will let a few people take over a plane. Have you not read in the news lately where men have threatened and passengers rise up and pin them into their seat and tie them down, take them down in a landing there and turn them over to authority, because never again will American men and women sit back passively and let this happen again. And I want to say, neither will we. Never again will we allow men to lead us to our deaths. We will not allow the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost be taken away from our young people. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah! Never again will we allow mercy to be taken away from the children of God and placed there on fickle men who decide your fate. Never again. We will declare there is a Lamb. We will declare that there is mercy. We will declare the blood is still in effect. We will not allow sin to strip holiness from our sisters and make them into harlots. Never again. Hallelujah. Never again will we sit back and let the sick lay without healing. But we will preach healing and we will practice healing and we will have healing. Hallelujah. Before the declaration of Israel as a nation, the Jordanian king, King Adullam, suggested that Palestine come under his control. For he wanted to annex Palestine into his kingdom. And he promised, you Jews, you can all live peaceably under my rule. Just lay down your arms and, you know, come under my kind guidance and leadership. Trying to, you know, he's doing everything that he could to possess that land. And you can do it without a fight. I'll come in there and I'll take it over and I'll protect you. And you can have your little areas and I'll have my areas and they'll all be under me and you'll be under my dominion and my protection. Don't that sound like the devil? He'd like to compromise with you. So that he could share a part of your land. So there would be certain promises he wouldn't let you own. Come on. And you know, knowing that he was offering this generosity, there was some diplomats that went and went through high risk to go and visit with King Adullam. And one of them was Golda Meir, and the other was Ezra Danan. Golda would dress up in a burqa, just looking, peering through a little slit. They would be ushered in and meet secretly with the king. And the king told them, said, gave them the dire news, said, the Arabs will kill you all. They will ruin all of your accomplishments of restoration. If you just accept my rule over you. You know, then you know, it'll all be peace and prosperity. And you can have your little part, and I'll rule over all of it. And when they resisted, he persisted and said, I can't understand why the Jewish people are in such a hurry to declare a state. And Golda Meir said these never-to-be-gotten words. She looked back, sat straight up, and looked in the king's eyes and said, a people that has waited for a Jewish state for 2,000 years could hardly be described as being in a hurry. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you might think we're in a hurry for a rapture. We're not. We've been waiting 2,000 years. We've been waiting a long, long time to come back to the land where the Messiah will come. Hallelujah. We're a people who have returned to the land of the Bible after six church ages of dispersal and removal from the land. The church began with Paul's gospel rooted firmly in the land of the Bible, with correct Bible doctrines and the power of the Holy Ghost. As Ephesian age lost her first love, believers were then dispersed among the denomination. But in this day, there was a call rang out that said, come out of her, my people. It's the same as the midnight cry of Matthew 25 that woke the virgin, saying to go out to meet the bridegroom. And today, in this third Exodus, even as God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, vindicating him first with a pillar of fire, God has sent a prophet with a message saying, let my people go. Hallelujah. That sounds out to every devil. That sounds out to every demon in hell. It is a word that has been released that says, let my people go. I want you to understand, no matter what kind of bondage you're in tonight, whether it's pornography or whether it's some habit or whether it's some sin, there is a word that has come forth that says, let my people go. And when God releases the word, it can't return unto him, boy. It's got to do what he accomplished it to do. The devil may have your health tonight, but I tell you, there's a word released that says, let my people go. I don't care how long you've been bound. I don't care how big the devil's been. I don't care how big his boast is. There is a word released that says, let my people go. And we're here tonight. We're in the land, having returned to the gospel that Paul preached. Amen. You say, well, now, Brother Tim, we got more than old Paul did. Well, you can have it. But I don't want a different gospel. And I don't want a different land. You know, they offered the Jews Uganda. We'll just give you Uganda. The whole country, we'll give it to you, and it can be your land. The Jews said, we don't want that land. That ain't our homeland. Amen. We want this land. We want the land of Palestine. That's where our fathers were. Amen. And because of this, we have returned to the God of the Bible. In this land, we will keep his commandments. We will have no other gods beside him. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Have you just kind of settled down and enjoyed some of the benefits of being here? And you've forgotten that we pledged to leave the idols behind? The idols of television and Hollywood have been abandoned with a pledge to serve the one true and living God? Amen. Have it your way, but I'll tell you this, true believers don't go to the movies. Amen. True believers don't have them in their homes either. People who have returned to the land, remember. They remember the torment. They remember the torture of the past. Come on, church. Amen. Real believers don't wallow like pigs with the world and go to ball games. Amen. The bride's heroes are not someone who can chase a pigskin that is full of air. Her heroes are men who can kill a giant with a stone that lions can't eat, that fire cannot burn, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of the lions, that quenched the violence of the fire, that escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong and waxed violent and valiant and fight and turned to flight the armies of the alien. That's our real heroes. Amen. Thus, we have returned to the land, forsaken the other gods. Amen. And it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Like in the day of Joshua of old, we have seen the silence broken. And the land is open for us. Amen. It is open for every believer. And to every believer, every resource of the book. This has granted us untapped resources. That just as Israel had to conquer the land before them, after seeing the walls fall at Jericho, the opening of the seals is only the beginning. And the rest of the land lays before us, because the book that was once sealed and closed off for us, the land is now open to us. And this has granted us untapped resources. Amen. The third pull. The phase of William Branham's ministry that opened the seven seals. And thus opened up the entire word was based on a scripture. A lot of us sometimes we forget what scripture the third phase, the third pull of Brother Bannon's ministry was based upon. But it was based upon a scripture that speaks of untapped resources that was given to the church. And this was a scripture made plain to Brother Branham for the third phase of his ministry, which opened up the seven seals for us. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, hallelujah, these are the words of Jesus, that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. Hallelujah. Today we're a people who stand under the blood covenant. Hallelujah. The blood of the everlasting covenant. A people, as I quote from Brother Branham, through the atonement sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, can live in a sphere with God so close that he can be wrapped so completely in God by the blood of Jesus. It wouldn't be him talking. It would be the Holy Spirit speaking these things. Hallelujah. The original root of the bride tree hath put forth another branch. Hallelujah. The Bible said in that day, the branch shall be beautiful. Amen. There's no more palmer worms ordained to come and eat this one down. There's no more canker worms going to be allowed to destroy this one. This is to be a fruitful branch. Hallelujah. She's ordained to be a continuation of the book of Acts. Not a continuation of her fusses and debates and arguments and heresies and false doctrines. Although there were plenty of them in that book. Amen. But those were not books of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Those who, that is in the book of Acts of wicked men or men unconverted or men walking in the flesh. Amen. But I'll tell you again, there is a people who are going to continue the book of Acts. Not our debates, not our fusses, not our arguments, not our false doctrine, but a continuation of the same Holy Spirit that worked in the original church, of people who are doing His acts again. Hallelujah. If you abide in me, if you dwell in the land, amen, and the God of the land dwell in you, amen, the Holy Ghost in you, then ask what you will. Amen. We have received the seals that have opened up the land of the book. But now let us go into the full inheritance. Amen. Brother Branham would tell us in Queen of Sheba, he said, now instead of advancing on and see what God promised, we look back and see what some brother behind us says. Let's don't look back. Look forward, keep moving on. We have untapped resources. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whatsoever, why if you say to this mountain be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said shall come to pass. You can have what you said. No conditions. No conditions. It's just unlimited. Now you say, Brother Branham, now what if we would ask for somebody's life to be taken or some evil thing? Well, you couldn't really have a Christian faith for a thing like that. It takes a Christian spirit to ask Christian things, to receive things from Christ. Amen. So, quoting Brother Branham again from the church's book. So when a spirit born, how many is a spirit born? Spirit-filled man, are you still with me? In faith, takes that word into his heart, places it upon his lip. Wow, that's the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. Hallelujah. I'm talking to some people tonight the devil can't stand before. Amen. A people who can resist him and he's going to flee. Come on. The Patmos vision, Brother Branham would tell us, Paul said that word come in power as well as voice. The word preached actually demonstrated itself. Like a flame and cutting sword, it went into the consciousness of man, and like a surgeon's knife, cut out the diseases, set the captives free. And everywhere those early believers went, they went preaching the gospel word, and God confirmed that word with signs following. The sick were healed. Devils were cast out. They spoke in new tongues. That was the word in action. That word, oh listen now, that word has never failed. Never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. And in this last age, are we here? It is here stronger and greater than ever in the true word bride. Oh, little flock, you little minority, hold on to that word. Fill your mouth and heart with it. And someday God will give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Now Moses in the first Exodus, he was operating by a commission under the blood of bulls and goats. You know, when he walks out, he's got a message. Let my people go. But it's not a message without teeth in it. Amen. It's not an empty threat. Amen. It's a commandment to the devil. Let my people go. Amen. It wasn't a whisper, it was a shout. Are you with me? Amen. And operating by a commission under the blood of bulls and goats, Moses began to torment Satan's kingdom, saying time after time, let my people go. The message never changed because of the opposition. The message only got stronger. The more the devil came against them, the stronger the message was. Let my people go. Amen. Pharaoh, like all devils, got stubborn. You know, but the more stubborn he became, the more determined God was. Amen. Because God had said, I'll have Israel, my firstborn, to serve me. Uninhibited. Israel is my firstborn. And if you don't let him go, I'll kill your firstborn. Amen. Let my people go. I won't do it. Okay, then I'll plague you until you do. Amen. And God used the voice of a man to bring plagues upon Satan's kingdom. And the word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. Amen. There ought to be some believing Christians right here tonight. Amen. That when the enemy resists, you bring all of heaven down upon it. Hallelujah. At least the judgments of God. Because God has determined his people go. His word has been declared. Amen. Moses, under the blood of bulls and goats and sheep, walked out there and took that stick, reached toward the east, said, thus saith the Lord, let flies come. There will be flies. Never heard of a fly. Walked on back. It's already spoke. It's a thought. Now it's spoke. It's expressed. It's the word of God then. They come into human lips. A simple man under the blood of bulls and goats. First thing you know, a green fly began to buzz around. The next thing you know, there were 5 pounds per yard. What was it? Was the word of God spoken through Moses the Creator. Amen. Because under the blood, he was standing in the presence of God, and his words wasn't his own words. And when you tell the devil, let my people go, get off of my property, that's God's words. That's what God said in this age. Amen. My people are going back to their homeland. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be given to you. And here comes these blazing words of the prophet. Where is the church standing at? Let there be frogs, and there wasn't a frog in the country. In an hour's time, they were 10 foot in places. What was it? It was God the Creator hiding himself in a simple man. I want to ask you something. That the blood of a bull or a goat can be used for a bleach, which can only cover, could put a man in position to speak the creative word of God and bring flies into existence. Why would you stumble at the bleach of Jesus Christ's blood, who could speak a squirrel or something to existence? Don't you do it. Don't stumble over simplicity. Believe that he still remains God. Oh, you're looking at your trouble, but you forgot he's still God. But you don't know, Brother Tim, I've had this problem for you. He's still God. You don't know, Brother, the trouble in my marriage. He's still God. Mark 11:22. If you say this mountain be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said will come to pass. Oh, you can have what you said. He would repeat these words again in Albuquerque in a similar message on God hiding himself in simplicity. Where is the Pentecostal church at today? Amen. You don't realize that confessed truly confess sin omits sin. If there's no omit to it, it builds a bridge across this chasm that takes a man back in the presence of his Creator and makes him a son of God. Amen. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Amen. There you are. Verily I say unto you, if you say this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass. You can have what you said. Glory to God. It's my God revealing himself in humility. God taking a humble sinner and cleansing him by his blood and dropping that confessed sin into that chloric bleach of the blood of the Son of God, and then putting his own life into that man by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then if we got the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, what's wrong with us? What do you mean, what's wrong? Same thing David asked. Why are you allowing this uncircumcised Philistine who ain't in the covenant, who don't have God on his side, defy the armies of the living God? Why are you putting up with this? Boy, if we have the bad, genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, what's wrong with us? When the type, when Elijah dropped the robe for Elisha, he got a double portion of it. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. What's wrong, church? Amen. Well, he was asking the Pentecostal church what was wrong. Well, what was wrong with the Pentecostals were that they were too happy building a camp outside the promised land. And we're just satisfied with just enough of the power of God to make them speak in tongues. And they were happy where they were. And didn't want any more of the resources that were still available. So they cabbaged down on one thing and got stuck right there. Wouldn't go no further. Amen. Now God's asking the same question. He's asking the question tonight. What's wrong with the church? Where are we standing at? Amen. You know, this. Let me just say, this is not another denominational church move. This is not just another church like was in those lands where your grandparents was, and back there when you were in the dispersal back there, where you just come and you claim your pew and you go to church and you pay your tithes and you're a good person. Amen. This message was not to make a denominational church member out of it. Amen. It was to make someone who's on fire for God, who has a passion for truth. Amen. That can call heaven down. That knows who they are. Hallelujah. That can stand there and say, I'm an adopted son. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've got a need today. I'm going to say to my mountain. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, it's already been said before Zerubbabel, before the believer, it shall become a plain. Amen. Your mountain's got to hear your voice. Amen. You got to realize preachers can't do it for you. You're going to have to look at your mountain. Look at the obstacle in your life. Look at the situation there. And you speak to that thing. I no longer let the devil be a tyrant in my home. I'm no longer going to listen to his voice. I'm no longer going to let him take the joy of my salvation away. I no longer am going to tolerate sin. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the day where people who know their God do exploits. Moses' day, the people of the book used inspired words uttered from the human lip, and it created frogs and lice and locusts. It plagued the enemy. Why? Because God's word had said the seed of Abraham would return to the land of Abraham. And there was nothing going to stop them. The people of the book opened the Red Sea. When the Red Sea got in the way, another obstacle. Amen. And it stood in heaps and a path of deliverance opened for the people of the book. Wasn't nothing going to keep them out of the promised land. Amen. You know, sometimes you got to realize the Word of God speaks, but there needs somebody to take the initiative. Brother Branham even said you got to watch that pulsation of faith. Amen. You look for that. Man, and you listen, it requires action. Somebody, not just to say, I believe the promise, but somebody to act on the promise. Is somebody with me yet? Amen. There's Jewish tradition, you know, that and again, it's for what it's worth. It's a nice story if nothing else, but it makes a point for me. But then Jewish tradition says that at the Red Sea, when the enemy was on, coming there behind them, mountains on the sides, Red Sea in the front of them. And they're all blocked in. And Moses started acting like a man instead of like Christ. And he started crying about it. And complaining to God about it. And calling out, God, what are you doing? Why are you letting this happen to me? And God said, you're not acting like me. You're not acting like Christ. I sent you here to portray Christ. Is somebody here with me, or did you hang up on me? That's why you're here. You're to portray Christ. Amen. And you're crying and you're moaning around about all the day. You're not acting like Jesus. Amen. When the trouble came, he said, why are you crying to me? Speak. And go forward. Why, brother, it got worse. There was wind started coming everywhere. And the waves, instead of smaller, were worse. Instead of being a calm sea to go over, you know, to go forward into, it's a raging sea. Amen. And there was, according to Jewish tradition, there was a man. He was one of the men that brought tribute to the temple of the tribe of Judah. His name was Nashon. And Nashon, when he heard Moses speak, go forward, he took it at his word. And the Jews said, this man went forward and started right out into the water. He didn't wait for it to part. He got out ankle deep and knee deep and belly deep, and it got up to his nose, and when it looked like he was going to drown, the waters opened. Amen. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to step out in faith. Take another step. Walk out. Come on, go more than ankle deep. Go more than knee deep. Go right on out. God's not going to let you perish. All of heaven's looking on. He's looking for somebody that'll believe his word. I say tonight, is there a nation here? Is there somebody here that'll say, I'm going to take God at his word? That has the initiative to stand forward. Amen. And that day, the people of the book stopped the sun and defeated the five kings and put their feet upon their necks. Amen. Every example of the Bible, it speaks of the resources that is afforded to the believers. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, now I'm finally getting to my subject. Hallelujah. Amen. What you get for having an older man preach. He's a lot slower than these young men. Now on that day, the people of the book, they knew there were untapped resources. If the sun needed to stand still, then they just spoke and said it. Amen. Now, Brother Branham said, if you can limit God, you can limit Christ. And if you can limit the church today in its possibility, you are limiting God. But all things whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. So he said, if you limit the church today in its possibilities, you are limiting God. Again, in question and answers 54, God is known by simple faith, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way God in you, and he brings you a son and makes and changes your nature. And the very same thing, the God, the Creator who made all things and spoke the world into existence by his word, that same spirit in you, you believe everything God says. And there's nothing impossible if you believe it. You won't stand back to one little creed and say, I don't believe except that. I can't believe God will do this. I can't believe. You limit God by your unbelief. Well, if, and then he would tell us again, and lean not to your own understanding. He said, well, if God loves you well enough to bring you up out of sin and fill you with the Holy Ghost, what's the matter with you poor spineless weaklings around the country? Won't he much more deliver you from your affliction when he promised he would do it? God's word said so. He'll do it. Amen. Another quote. And the devil is trying to hide you back and tell you you are some little trod down something. You're not. You're sons and daughters of God. Deity is in you. Hallelujah. He would tell us again, God has always been here on the earth. God has never left the earth. Say, well, he ain't here the way he was in the, with the prophet. That ain't what the word says. God has never left the earth. If he ever leave the earth, I don't know what would become of it, but God has always been here in some form. Oh, praise his name. He was with the children of Israel in the wilderness, coming out of Egypt in the form of a light. He spoke to Abraham in the form of a light. He spoke to Moses in the form of a man. He spoke to the church in the form of a man, his son, Christ Jesus. And he's speaking through his church today, through the anointed church of the living God, through vessels of clay. You are the branches, I am the vine. God is still speaking. And the world sees Jesus as you present him. For your written epistles, read of all men. He would tell us in invisible union, it's the same Jesus in bride form. Same power, same church, same thing, same word. He would tell us again, and Christ revealed in his own word, then the complete body of Christ is revealed in the form of a bride that was taken out of his side. He would say in the token, it has to be because a woman and her husband become one. They become one, and so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. Hallelujah. Not different, the same. Hallelujah. Amen. He would talk about it again, and Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And he said, notice the vindicated word in his body. His word in the bride. Amen. Or bride who has the word in her. Amen. Are you that people? A people that he abides in you. You abide in the word and the word abides in you. How did that happen? By the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. You don't fast your way into it. You don't pray your way into it. You don't dance your way into it. You are birthed into it. Hallelujah. And amen. Notice he said he only died. He said again. He said, they, notice the vindicated word in his body is his very victory and the reason of his death. He only died in the flesh. His spirit went to hell. Preached to the souls in prison. His flesh died. Then he raised it up again. Quickened it. Quickened means made alive. And his flesh, which was in his body, that's the word that has been laying dead for years, but it's gradually began to come up in the Reformation. And now she's standing on her feet. Oh, he said, how I could wish I could go back to Ezekiel and pull out them dry bones and show you, can these bones live? And he said, prophesy. How can the prophecy come? Only through a prophet. It's the word of the Lord. Hear ye dry bones, the word of the Lord. And the new skin that came upon them, they stood a mighty army, began marching toward Zion. Glory to God. That's him. That's the victory. I'm looking tonight upon an invincible army. Marching to take every square inch of the word that speaks of the bride. Here we are back in the land. We have been planted here. And like Joshua said, you know, like he told Joshua, be of good courage. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. You're going to prosper in everything you do. I'm with you everywhere you go. Amen. Wherever you put your foot, I've given it to you. Just put your foot on it and claim it. I'll be right there to back it up. Hallelujah. Amen. I give it to you for possession. God's given every blessing we have need of, can ask for. Amen. Only thing we have to do is take it. And he said, now God's not going to bring it and give it to you. Amen. You've got to go get it. It's yours. You understand, everybody? We've got to possess it. It's ours. God told Moses, I give you the word. And it was infested with Amorites, Hittites, all different kinds of ites and mites. God could have come down, caused a storm to come by and swept it all out and said, come on in, children. But he don't do it that way. He said, I give it to you. Now you go take it. Come on, is there a nation here tonight? Amen. That'll walk right out in the water of his promise. God said for me to go take it. Woe to any devil that tries to oppose me. Because I'm coming in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's his grace. It's his favor upon you. Amen. Favor upon favor. It's the headstone crying, grace, grace. Oh my. Brother Branham told us why Pentecost failed. You know why Pentecost failed? Because they felt that they had arrived. They felt they had all there was to it in speaking in tongues. And there was a whole, oh my, they hadn't even hardly got a toe in the land. Come on. Amen. And then Brother Branham said, and this in this message, why Pentecost failed? He said, you can never exhaust God's love and mercy to you. And he said, you say, well, I hate to bother you so much, Father. He wants to be bothered that way. Don't you never think you could ever ask too much of God. I believe the scripture, you have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. He wants us to ask and believe that our joys would be full. He wants you to ask abundantly. Ask for big things. I'm quoting your prophet. This is a commandment of God. Ask for big things. Don't limit your faith to some little mustard seed. Get on out here in some other kind of faith and move out in big things. Big things are just as easy to receive as little things. You just have to believe, that's all. And you've got faith, just know exactly how to use it. And it'll be all right. You can put it right to work and it'll be just fine. And then he equates the church being in the ocean like a little bitty fish. About that long. And he said, could you imagine, talking about exhausting God's love and power and beneficiaries for you. Could you imagine a little bitty fish about that long, way out here in the middle of the ocean, say, now wait a minute. I better consider this thing. I better drink of the water sparingly. Because I might run out someday. A little fish about that long in the middle of the ocean out here. Well, that could easy be done, more easier than you could ask too much of God. He is the inexhaustible fountain of life. Whatever you have need of, ask Him and believe it. He promised it in the redemptive blessings when He died at Calvary and gave the promise to you. And everything you have need of while you're in the journey, it's yours. If you ask and believe it, that's right. So He said, you're just like in a big ocean. And you're this big. You're little bitty fish in the ocean of God's Spirit. Surrounded by God's Holy Spirit. We're in it, and it's in us. The Spirit is in us, and we're in the Spirit. It's an ocean of the Spirit. Somebody with me? Just like the fish is in ocean water. And the ocean water is in the fish. Amen. It's breathing. It's taking that water in. Taking its life-giving resources, the oxygen out. Pushing it out back again. It's constantly pulling in into itself. Back and forth. Come on, the ocean's in the fish, and the fish is in the ocean. You're in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in you. If you abide in me, and I in you. Hallelujah! Amen! Hallelujah! Take the fish out of the ocean, and the fish dies. Take us out of the Holy Spirit, and we die. The Spirit is our life. It is our freedom. Everywhere a fish goes is ocean, and everywhere a child of God goes is Spirit. We are in it. It is in us. Amen. He can never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if that wasn't good enough, He goes to another little creature, and He said, now, take a little mouse about that long. And He said, you're under the great garners of Egypt. Now, you know, and He's saying, now wait a minute, I better be careful. You know, there was enough in those granaries to serve all of Egypt and the surrounding nations for 7 years. And little mouse is in there saying, I better not eat but one or two grains. You know, there's a real famine out there today. You know, and I just might run out before winter's over, so better eat sparingly. And He said, that's the way people act as Christians. They get up in the morning. God bless my little family today and keep us close. Amen. Well, I've done my religion today. Oh, He said, I'd just like to lay down and really drink, don't you? Just have a real spiritual, gastronomical jubilee. And just drink till you can't drink no more. Amen. And then He likened it to a tree. And He says, you know, a little tree that big, little bitty sprout. Said, if it's an orange tree, it has all the oranges in it already it'll ever make. But what an orange tree has to do is drink more than its allotted portion. Oh, you just hung up on me there. Because that's what a lot of people are used to doing. They just get barely enough to survive from one service to the next. Come on. And they're drinking, but it's just enough to keep living to another service and stagger in again on Saturday night. Are you with me? Amen. They're just drinking a little portion. But Brother Branham said you have to drink more than your allotted portion. And he said the more it drinks, it begins to push out. And he pushes out leaves and pushes out branches and pushes out blossoms, then pushes out oranges. He keeps drinking and pushing out more oranges and leaves and blossoms and just drinks and drinks and drinks. Amen. The blooms are already in it. Don't come out of the air. They don't come up through the ground. Amen. The blooms in the tree. The oranges are already in it. But the tree is planted in the ground and has got to drink. And that's what Brother Branham said. When a believer is placed in Christ, you are planted in there in an inexhaustible fountain of life. And the more you drink, you push out. Amen. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you got everything that you have need of. Between here and glory is right in you. It ain't faith that you need. You've got faith if you got the Holy Ghost. For He is your faith. You've just got to know how to use your faith. Amen. That means you've got to drink more than your portion. And you got to push out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And as it drinks, it pushes out. You listen, I'm quoting Brother Branham again. The devil don't care how much you come to Christ as long as you don't drink. You stand at the table with your mouth watering and you say, well, I'm here. And you're afraid to turn your faith loose. Amen. This is a place to turn your faith loose. Amen. Now you sit back there with a critical spirit. The music is too loud. The preaching is too long. Did you hear that, brother? He missed a note. There ain't enough entertainment in this church. Well, Wednesday and Saturday church is a bit too much. I can only make it on Sunday morning. You know what? What is it? Is you're coming, but you're not drinking more than your allotted portion. Why? He said it's untouched resources that God's got laid up for His church. The power of God is ready to spread abroad and take in the man and the woman into the kingdom and tell you, and give them joy unspeakable and full of glory that no dance, whiskey, or nothing else could ever take its place. Certainly, he said, God's got it, but the people don't want it. I wonder if we would want it bad enough on Wednesday night to say tonight, God, I'm going to drink more than my allotted portion. I'm going to drink more than just enough to barely sustain me. I got a few things to say about it as we go along. And you know, I'm not your pastor. You got a great pastor and I wouldn't try to take his place, but I am a pastor and sometimes things just come out. But you know, a real Christian don't fill up quickly. One of the reasons for adoption, Brother Branham told us, one of the reasons why the tutor could not adopt this son. He said, they'll just sit around and look like a little jug. They fill up pretty quick and get up and go home. In other words, they have very little capacity for the Word of God. Can I quote Brother Branham as saying, we are tired of hearing sermonettes. And I ain't talking about what your pastor preaches. But we're tired of hearing sermonettes by preacherettes to Christianettes. Amen. We ought to be in this land and say, one thing I'm going to be in this land, I'm going to be a full-born, full-blooded son or daughter of the living God. I'm going to have everything of His promise. I'm not going to be a Christianette, so I don't want a sermonette, and I don't want my preacher to be a preacherette. And thank God we don't have a preacherette in this church. Let me tell you, when Brother Branham was here, he had the vision of the third pull How many remembers that? Part of it was about fishing. God showed him about fishing. Amen. He told him, he said he looked out there and he could see the big rainbow trout he wanted to catch. Those were the covenant people. Rainbow. Fishing is preaching the gospel. He said, now what you do, he said, you cast way out into the deep. He said, the first pull is going to attract a bunch of the little fish. But we ain't wanting little fish. We want the rainbow. Amen. And he said, they'll all get attracted. And he said, then the second pull will scatter the little fish. But the third pull, which is the word. Come on. The third pull, which is opening of them seven seals, the revealing of the mystery, will catch the rainbow trout. Come on now. Amen. So you see what we've had. Well, even in Brother Branham, he passed way out there. His first sign, oh, they were healing America. Do you know what kind of entertainment it was? You'd want a front row seat too to watch blind eyes come open, cripples walk, deaf hear. Pretty entertainment. It got so many little fish, amen, that they got scooped up by men like Roberts and like Billy Graham and those. And even Brother Brandon said, millions of my converts went over into the Assembly of God. Little fish. They were attracted by the entertainment. Amen. We don't come here to be entertained. There's only one thing that's going to catch the trout. And that's the preaching of the word. Amen. So you see, when you have to be entertained, it is the evidence of being a little fish. And not a rainbow trout. Little fishes want entertainment. But the third pull will catch that covenant people and take her to the master's table for the rapture of the saints. Amen. Why would we want to just take some entertainment and allow things to just be entertained when we could have every divine promise of God? Come on. He is the inexhaustible fountain of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm trying to stop this timer that's telling me to stop. Brother Louis tried to give me a button. He tried to give me a button. I gave him a sucker. Amen. You have been placed into a resource. I'm winding this down. I promise you. It's Wednesday night. You little fishes are ready to go home. No. We got more than little fishes. Amen. Well, let's knock her right down and drive her home now just a moment. You have been planted by a river of living water. You ain't ever going to run out. I've known this man for nearly 40 years. He ain't never run out of something to preach. Amen. The meal barrel here in Happy Valley has never went dry. Some of you have went dry and can't even come out on Saturday night no more. You went dry, but he didn't. You know, you've got to be entertained, so you've got to go find your entertainment, little fish. But there's some rainbow trout. They are saying, take this world, but give me Jesus. Hallelujah. They have been predestinated and set out by a river of living water. And their leaves will not wither. Hallelujah. And they bring forth their fruit in its season. Hallelujah. And whatever they do shall prosper. Whatever they do shall prosper. Amen. You can never ask God too much. Amen. You ought to be like Elisha tonight. Not to be afraid. You know, we think we do the prophet a discredit. Come on. Elisha comes along by with Elijah. And you know, we would have said, oh, don't do that. Nobody can be great like Elijah. But Elisha didn't have that mentality. Amen. He was asked, is there something you would like before I go away? And he didn't ask for something little. He said, I don't want just what you got. I want a double portion of what you got. Oh, people would be offended to say, we want a double portion of what William Branham had. But let me just put it on Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to give you a double portion. The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater. Greater than these shall you do, because I'm going to go to my Father. Amen. Hallelujah. What a promise. Don't be afraid to ask God big things. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to go out there and claim your land. Your position. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wow, what wonderful words of life. Now then, we are here at the restitution of all things. We're here at the end time. Returning back of everything that man lost. We're not just coming up and getting a little tongue and a little dump and a little dance. We're going all the way, Jesus. This is rapture age. This is rapture hour. That's why you see heaven moving. Revelation 5 shows the Lamb taking the book and opening up its resources. And they're still untapped tonight. Jericho, the opening of the seals, isn't all there is to the book. There's many other things in the book. You need to go possess. We need to go possess. Brother Donnie and I, our wives, my son, his wife, we were in Israel here a few months ago now. We had a wonderful, lovely time. Enjoyed being together with Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, my wife and I did. It was just a great time. Had some very moving moments. You know, I stood there on Mount Carmel and I was moved. Tears come down my face as I looked over the Jezreel Valley and thought of the many things that God did. We stood out there. Took a boat and went out onto the Sea of Galilee. And the Spirit of God came down in the boat. And the tears came down as we said, how great thou art. And I looked upon the mountains around. And I said, one day the eyes of my Lord were crossing the sea. And as he come across, he saw these mountains. My eyes were laying upon things that Jesus looked upon. Then we went to Jerusalem. And there, Jerusalem, we looked there, and in the holy place, there where supposedly upon the rock where Abraham offered Isaac, we looked upon the gold dome of the mosque. And our guide began to tell us of the Six-Day War. When Israel took possession of the Temple Mount. And the first time in 2,000 years, the Jews had possession of the Temple Mount. Some of those courageous soldiers climbed the mosque. And on the Dome of the Rock, they put an Israeli flag there. They were claiming their inheritance. A few days later, within hours, the generals and the politicians become cowards and fearful because of what the world reaction would be to this signa upon the mosque. And they ordered the soldiers to go take that flag down. And them Jewish soldiers, they would obey commanders. They would run into death. In fact, they had risked their lives to put that flag on top of that mosque. But not Noah, there was not one soldier that was willing to risk his life to go climb up that mosque and pull that flag down. They would put it up there, but ain't one of them was going to take it down. So them officers, there's only one thing they could do. They couldn't get men to obey orders to climb the mosque, to put it on top of the dome, to take it down off the top of the dome. So the officers took guns and shot the flag down. And they gave it back to the Arabs. Now this is what I say. How dare any of us shoot the banner down? When my Jesus gave his life so that we can wave that flag in the face of our enemy and claim every God-given right to every holy place of God's word. My Lord, put it there. He put his banner there. He put his name there. And how dare anybody shoot it down? Woe to the man that would shoot it down. Amen. We wave it proudly tonight. Hallelujah. It is a banner that has been given to us because of truth. The banner we have is a banner of truth. Amen. His banner over us in love. It's a love for truth. His truth is marching on. It's claiming every promise. I'm calling for soldiers tonight. That no matter how high the mountain is, no matter how high the dome is, no matter how big the obstacle is in front of you, take that flag of truth and go plant it on that promise. I wonder if there's some soldiers here tonight, like in Hiroshima, that will risk their lives and put up the flag and wave that flag of redemption over the word of promise and say, amen, I'm not giving up my children. I'm not giving up my healing. I'm not giving up, amen, I'm not giving up the power of God. I'm not giving up the Holy Ghost. I'm going to have everything Godward. I'm planting a flag right here tonight. And I'll wave that flag in the face of the enemy. I'm standing here on God's word. Hallelujah. There are untapped resources. They've been waiting now for 2 millennia for you to go take it. Go take the gospel, Paul preached. And go forward in his name. Hallelujah. Every promise in the book is yours. Go put a flag on it. Wave that flag of truth. It's the flag of redemption tonight. Jesus purchased it. He paid for it. And how dare any of us take it down? I'm waving a flag tonight that said he's a healer of all diseases. I'm waving a flag tonight that said they shall be there and their offspring with them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou and thy house shall be saved. I'm waving a flag tonight. This is my promise. This is my land. And I'm not going to let no devil drive
off of it. I am here to stay. Hallelujah. Are you that way tonight? Then stand to your feet and claim the promise. And worship God tonight with all your heart. Amen. It's untapped resources. They're yours for you tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Satan, I say to you tonight, you've held God's people long enough. You've camped out on God's property. And we're the children of God to take it back tonight as we claim it by the blood of Jesus. Let my people go. In Jesus' name. Now rejoice in this promise. God bless you.
To you a week or two ago, a little hunchback of a boy standing there before a giant whose spear was 27 feet long. His armor weighed 272 pounds. He had the size of a washtub, eyeballs about that big. That's a pretty big army. Yeah, you look at it and think, wow, what in the world am I going to do? But it depends on whether you're a pessimist or an optimist in God's Word. You look at it and say, what a thud that's going to make when I bring that dude down. Woo! I can't wait to get on top of that dude's neck and shout a little bit. Just depends on how you look at it. It can be mighty dark and all those things around you, but if you look at the promise of God's Word and say, devil, you've signed your death warrant this day. David said, though an army compass me, yet will I not be afraid. You imagine an army against one man. Praise be to God. He was a man of the wilderness, and he'd go out and he'd camp out and hunt and all that sort of thing. Imagine him stepping out one morning, just breaking the day, and he'd come out and look around everywhere. He said, uh-oh, bad news for you guys. You've signed your death warrant coming against me today. Though an army come against me, I will not be afraid. Don't be discouraged, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Praise be to God. Let's see. How long ago was it that I quoted to you all that there was untapped resources in God? Let me see. Saturday night. Hope y'all are listening. And how long ago was it that I quoted to you about the little fish? Sunday morning? The little mouse in the granaries of Egypt? Sunday morning? I love it when God does that. Apparently, we needed to hear it again. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, I so appreciate the goodness of God to us. There's two times when a preacher wants to preach. That's when a preacher stands up who can't preach, and then one who can. And you know which one I'm following tonight. And so, but I'm going to spare you. God bless you. So appreciate Brother Tim, Sister Karen coming by and being with us. Here in a few days, Brother Tim will actually be having another birthday. So we won't be able to see him on that birthday. So I'd like to wish him a happy birthday while he's with us tonight. It'll be just a few days from now. So can we just say it together? Happy birthday, Brother Tim. Happy birthday, Brother Tim. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful time we've had here tonight in your presence. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. We're so grateful that we are the people of the book. We know it was in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra whenever the people come back to the land. And the scripture says that they built a pulpit. And they begin to stand up in that pulpit and read the word. And the people stood for hours all day long. They were so hungry for the word of God. They had a great, great revival. But it was a right revival of the revelation of their position in the word. They didn't add that many numbers really to what they were. But it was them finding their identity. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us. We so appreciate the things that we've heard tonight. May we take them, feed on them, ruminate on them, Lord. We're in a great time. But yet we face many trials, many difficulties that's around us. It's easy to become sidetracked with the problems and things of life. But you're so loving, kind, and wonderful. And you want us to have what is rightfully ours. I pray that you would anoint us, Father, with your great presence.
We not only want miracles and signs and wonders, that's always been among the real believers. But Lord, we want our inheritance. I want everything that has my name on it. Lord, I pray that you bring healing, deliverance for those that have streamed tonight, those that will archive this service. Lord, minister to the needs of your people, I pray. Father, you see the meetings coming up this week at Brother Ron's. We just pray that you'd go there, Lord, and anoint the speakers. Brother Darrell going to Canada this week, Lord, and the pastor wanting him to come and had a lot of sickness in the church, wanting him to have three services and every service praying for the sick. That we pray, Lord God, that you would just visit them in a special way. Amen. May there not be a feeble one left time the services are over, Lord. Father, we have several in our church that are sick and needy. We're asking you, Lord, on their behalf. You see, Lord Jesus, Brother Aaron Cobb still dealing with this situation in his body. Brother Eugene Kennedy, Sister Jill Fleeman, different ones, Lord, that have real, real desperate needs. We call their names to you tonight, Father. May you just bring them to that land of healing, Father. We love you. Go with us now, Lord. Keep us by your grace. Bring us back again at the appointed time, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, saints. Services this weekend, Brother Chisholm will be here. Just come back and bring a big old cup because he always has a lot of good things to say. Amen. We're living in a great hour.
Amen.
There's a lot of bad things happening in the world, a lot of bad things that are going on in people's lives, but our God is still a mighty God. A lot of good things that are happening for the people of the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you. Harry, sing something for us as we go. Turn and shake somebody's hand. Tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's been good. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
If you can't help me, please God don't stop me.
Go on the field, God.
Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run. And I'm running my face at the finishing line. I'll see God's face. Got a race to run, and I'm running my faith at the finishing line. I see God's face. Been running for Jesus a long time, running both night and day. I don't have time for idle talk, might cause me to lose this race. If you can't help me, don't stop me, move out of my way. You're not gonna block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. I see God's face. Lord, give me time to run this race, a heart to accept thy grace. I got a few more mountains and hills to climb. You'll be waiting for me at the finishing line. To help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running my faith at the finishing line. I'll see God's face.